Thank you for those songs. He mentioned that he was trying to pick songs that go with the lessons. And I feel like if I had given you my outlines, you couldn't have picked better songs than those. So that was that's very helpful. Both of the songs that we've sung so far this afternoon, I said it right that time, come from a text in Isaiah that we're going to begin with in Isaiah chapter 40. So open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll begin there in just a moment. As you're turning to Isaiah 40, I want you to think about a question. Are any of you tired? Can I ask for a show of hands? Is that all right? Is anybody tired tonight? All right. This afternoon. Is anybody tired this afternoon? It's late afternoon. This is a time when, for a lot of folks, we start to feel a little drowsy. And you guys have been, you've patiently sat through three lessons so far. This is number four in 2 days. That's a lot to ask. And so I know that it's easy to be tired right now. So I'm just saying this, I'm asking it up front because I'm hoping that if we acknowledge it and we realize we're all in the same boat, that will help. If you are tired and you need to stand up, please feel free to do that. We don't want anybody falling asleep and falling out windows. Isaiah chapter 40 will be our text here in just a moment. When you think about the things that make you tired, what are they? I mean, those of you that are tired right now, maybe it's because of all of the activity of the last couple of days. You had a busy week at work, and then you finished work yesterday, and you didn't really get much of a Saturday off today to relax. And so you might be physically exhausted. Maybe you've been working a lot of overtime lately at work, or the job's been really demanding. And so that's made you tired. Maybe some of you are tired because you didn't sleep well last night, because you had kids that are keeping you up. Maybe they had bad dreams, and so they woke you up, and they said, I need some help, Mom and Dad. And so you didn't sleep as much as you might have liked to. Or maybe you're tired because, not because you have kids, but because you're at an age in your life where you just can't sleep. You know, you'd like to, but your body just isn't comfortable. And so no matter what you do, it seems like things hurt. And they keep hurting, and the hurting doesn't go away. So you might be tired for that reason. I don't know, though, that those are the things that make us the most tired. I'll tell you, the first time I preached this lesson is when we were still living in Minnesota. And it was around a time, a couple of things had happened that were in the news where we were. One of them was, I don't know, you guys may remember this, I don't remember the exact year, but it was the year that there was a church shooting in Charleston, South Carolina. You guys remember that? Nine people that were gathered, I think it was like a weekday evening. They were at the church building just for a Bible study. And a guy had shown up, I think he had been invited to the study or something like that. He wasn't part of the church, but somehow he was invited to the study, and he showed up, people that I don't think he really knew, and he pulled a gun and shot and killed nine people. And it was all over the news at the time. Where we lived in Minnesota, there was another news story that probably wasn't national, but it was about a young man, a boy named Jacob Wetterling, who had been abducted years ago, back like in the 80s. And somebody had taken him, and it was this kind of this unsolved mystery for years. They never found where he was. They never figured out who did it. But around that time, somebody confessed to having done that, like kidnapping him and committing the whole crimes and all that stuff. And it was all over the place in Minnesota because everybody remembered what that was like. And, you know, years after the fact, to have all those memories come back, people were really stirred up about it and just not a lot of rest. Those are the kinds of things I think that make us the most tired. You know, physical burdens are one thing, but the emotional burdens, the spiritual burdens that we carry, the things that keep us up, the worries and concerns over our family, over the world. We live in a world where people, you know, they drive vehicles into crowded places for no reason. I mean, it wasn't that many years ago that, you know, 2 days from now, we're going to remember what happened at the Boston Marathon.
people take bombs and they set them off in the middle of thousands of people. And those are the things that make us the most tired in this world, you know? The things that we look at and...
It's not like there's a pill that you can prescribe somebody to fix that. It's not like that kind of trauma can be dealt with easily. Those are the greater burdens, the things that make us the most tired. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is when we find ourselves getting tired, how do we deal with that particular burden? We can deal with discouragement, we can deal with uncertainty, we can deal with a lot of those things, but at the end of the day, when we start to just feel exhausted by the fact that we live in a world that is wrecked, I mean wrecked by sin, where do we go? Isaiah chapter 40 is a great text to start in. We're going to skip down to verse 27 in Isaiah 40. And we're going to read verses 27 through 31. And I want you to notice in this text the conversation that God has with His people. Beginning in verse 27, read with me Isaiah 40. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. This text begins with a complaint on the part of the people. In verse 27, what the people are saying to God is that all this stuff is happening in my life and God just isn't paying attention. He doesn't see it. Why is my way hidden from God? If He's really all-seeing, if He knows everything, then why is He letting this happen in my life and He's not doing anything about it? Why is the justice that is due to me not being carried out and escaping the notice of God? By the way, do you ever hear people talking like that today? If God were really a good God, He wouldn't let the things happen in my life that are happening in my life. You know, if He were a just God or powerful, He wouldn't let stuff happen in the world like the things that happen in the world. So these are not ancient questions. They're also not questions that are peculiar to our day and age. There were questions that Israel was asking back in the days of Isaiah. But notice God's answer to that, or Isaiah's answer, is that it's not that God is tired. It's not that He's too weary, that He doesn't see. It's not that He lacks awareness or compassion. But the reality with God is for those who wait on Him, He'll renew their strength. He sees exactly what you're going through. He understands all the things that are hard for you. And so those that wait for the Lord, those answers, those prayers, those concerns that they have, they'll be addressed. They'll be taken care of. Now, there's one particular group of people that Isaiah draws our attention to in this text that I want to focus on. In verse 30, there's a contrast here. The contrast is between God and His tireless attention and power on one hand, and then on the other hand, verse 30, youths and young men. Notice that, though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. God's not like that, is basically what Isaiah is saying. I want you to think about, though, why does Isaiah, you know, of all of the groups that he could use as examples here, why does he pick youths and young men? I don't know the answer to that, but I have an idea about what it could be. And that's this. If you were to group people by age and by gender, of all of the age groups and all of the people groups you could come up with, youths and young men, I think, are probably the one group that gets tired, like, never. I mean, of all the groups, they're the one group that has the most energy. And those of you that are raising young boys, you know that. If you've raised kids at any point and you had boys. I come from a family where there are three of us, and I don't know how my parents are still alive. But we could just run them ragged. And that's the reality. I mean, when we lived in Minnesota, there was a Bible camp up there that I got to be a part of every summer. And I think the last couple of years, the cabin that I was a counselor in was the cabin for like junior high and high school boys. And I cannot wrap my head around how energetic they were. I mean, they would run around camp all day playing soccer and playing ultimate frisbee and playing softball and volleyball. They'd play pranks on each other. And the only time they'd fall asleep was during Bible class. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Sort of. But they just, I mean, they could go and go and go and never get tired. And I loved being with them. But there were times where we'd get back to our cabin at night, and no matter how much was going on and how excited they were and how excited, you know, the conversations we were having, my body would reach a point where it was just like, you're done for tonight. And I couldn't stay up. I couldn't keep my eyes open. I just have to sleep. But an interesting thing would happen as the week went on. We get to maybe Wednesday or Thursday. And what I started to notice as we get to the cabin at night is that it would start to get a lot quieter, a lot faster. And by the end of the week, these young men and youths were falling asleep before I was. So youths and young men, they can go and go and go and have energy for days, but eventually, they'll get tired. But what Isaiah is saying is that God's not like that. He's never going to run into a moment where you never have to worry about God getting so tired that He can't listen to you. He can't stay awake to hear your prayers at night. He can't keep His eyes open to help you through what you're going through. That's the point of Isaiah chapter 40, the text that we read. Turn with me over now a few pages to Isaiah 46. What we're going to see here is another contrast that Isaiah paints for us. We're going to find out that there was something that was going on in the lives of God's people in the book of Isaiah. In chapter 40, the people are going to God with their prayers and they're wondering, why isn't God answering? In chapter 46, there's a totally different issue that's going on. Begin with me reading in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 1. Bel has bowed down. Nebo stoops over. By the way, Bel and Nebo were Babylonian idols, Babylonian false gods. Bel has bowed down, Nebo stoops over. Their images are consigned to the beasts and the cattle. The things that you carry are burdensome, a load for the weary beast. They stooped over, they have bowed down together. They could not rescue the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, you who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I will be the same. And even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you. To whom would you liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we would be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh silver on the scale hire a goldsmith, and he makes it into a god. They bow down, indeed, they worship it. They lift it on their shoulder and carry it. They set it in its place, and it stands there. It does not move from its place. Though one may cry to it, it cannot answer. It cannot deliver him from his distress. We'll stop right there for now. But you see what's going on in this text? What God is identifying is that instead of coming to Him, the people are taking all of these Babylonian gods and they're seeking help from them. And so this chapter, Isaiah 46, is really a contest between the Babylonian false gods Bel and Nebo and Jehovah. And what God describes here is this funny thing that was happening is that they would fashion these images of the Babylonian false gods and they would set them up and they would worship them. And they would like bow down to them and they would ask for prayer or ask for favors and all these things. But then do you notice what would happen after that? They'd pick them up and put them on their shoulder and carry them down the road. And then they'd set them up again and worship Him again. Do you see the problem with that? Like, if these
Babylonian false gods were so powerful, why couldn't they walk on their own 2 feet from place to place? You know, why do they have to be carried by the people that are doing the worshiping here?
And so that's what God points out, is here's the problem with this. It's not just that these false gods were powerless to do anything to help the worshipers. It's not just that they couldn't bear the burdens of the people. It's that they themselves, the false gods, were actually adding to their burdens. That's the irony of this. Not only could they not deliver the people, they were making it harder on them by giving them false hope. Rather than bearing their burdens, they only added to them. But God, on the other hand, was strong enough to carry them through childbirth, from childhood into old age. And the images that God uses here, I think, are remarkable. In describing himself as a parent, a mom who brings a baby into the world and takes care of that baby. And then as the baby grows up, it continues to take care of the child as the child grows. Parents, and by the way, the language here that God uses, where is it? Verse 4. Halfway through the verse, he says, I have done it, I will carry you. It's like God's saying, it's already done. I'm taking care of this. I can carry your burdens, but you got to bring them to me. Parents, have you ever noticed that happen with any of your kids? Like, as they go through life and they start to figure out how the world works, and you notice them trying to deal with the burdens that they deal with as young people. There have been times in your life where your child was dealing with something that you knew full well you could help them with. Because you'd been there before. You'd carried that burden. You carried that burden in your own life, and you'd come through on the other side of it, and you knew that you could help them and give them everything that they needed to deal with it. But only if they asked you. Because you also knew that at the same time, there's the kind of tension, you want to help them as a parent, but you know you can't force them to come to you. And if you try to, it's just going to push them away. And so what do you do as a parent? You hope that they'll understand that you've been there, you've done it, and you'll help them, but only if they bring it to you. Do you think there are times where that's how God looks at us? You know, like, we have these problems that we think, I've got to carry this thing, and I've never done this before, so I'm going to do my best, but I don't really know how. I think any of those problems are ever too great for God, and he's like, this is a new one. I don't know what to do with this. Or do you think he's like, I've done this 1,000 times. From the beginning of creation, I've carried that burden. I know what you're going through. I'll do it again. But only if you bring it to me. That's one of the things I think that God teaches his people here. You know, another thing, as we think about these parenting images that plays out in raising children, is not just that God was strong enough to bear their burdens when they were young, but it says even into old age, I'll do that. The reality is that God would never get to a point where he was unable to carry their burdens. And those of you that are parents raising kids, we don't have kids, so I'm an outsider looking in at this. But what I thought about is, if we ever do have kids, one of the things that I think will scare me the most is what's going to happen. You know, I'm sure parents want nothing more than to be able to help their kids bear the burdens. But is there going to be a time in my life where, if we have children, I'm not going to be able to do that? In fact, is there going to be a time where, like, because of health or old age or whatever, where I become a burden to them? I don't know if any of you wrestle with that or think about that. Here's what I think will happen. I hope that if that's ever the case in our lives, that they won't view it that way. You know, they'll view their parents as, and the ability to help them as, a grace. And something they'll be willing to do. And that's how I think about my mom and dad right now. You know, my dad, I still call him and he helps me with DIY projects and things around the house that I have no idea how to do. And I can always call him. But I know I'm not going to always be able to. But that's okay. You know, And if there's ever a time when he needs help or my mom needs help and we have to be the ones to provide that for him, it's not going to be a burden, you know. It's going to be a privilege. And I think that's part of what God's saying here is, you're never going to have to worry about that with me. I'm never going to get so old that I'm just your old man and I can't help you with anything and it just makes your life harder. In fact, as you get old and you get to that point, guess who's still going to be here? I'm going to carry you. Even into your old age, I will do it. So, in so many ways, what God is showing the people in Isaiah is that He doesn't get tired. Now, I want to just try to make this practical for us. Let's look at some texts in the New Testament to try to see how this plays out in our day-to-day lives. Galatians chapter 6, let's turn there and notice something that Paul wrote to the Galatian Christians. Skip down in chapter 6 to verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. At the end of this letter, Paul is encouraging these Christians to not get tired, the very thing we're talking about tonight. And here's what he says, chapter 9, or verse 9 of Galatians 6. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So he's telling them, hey, keep doing good, don't lose heart, and in don't get tired, because eventually you're gonna reap. In due time. He doesn't say how long that's going to be, but don't get weary of doing good, because eventually you're going to reap the benefits of it. So here's the question about this. I believe that all of you here tonight are the kind of people that in your life you really are trying to do this. You want to do good. You're trying to serve the Lord, trying to be helpful. Why is it that we get tired? I mean, in other words, why isn't the doing of the good thing enough by itself to renew our strength and to keep us from getting weary? So, what Paul says here with Galatians is, I think he answers it earlier in the text. Now, maybe there are some reasons for that. One could be that maybe the people that we're trying to help, they don't see what we're doing. And so we're pouring ourselves into their lives, trying to do good for them, but they just don't recognize the good. Another reason could be that they see the good, they know full well what we're doing, but it's just not appreciated. Sometimes that can make us grow weary. Or sometimes maybe we're doing good for people and they see it, they're aware of it, they're really happy and thankful for it. But maybe what we wonder at the end of the day is this really just help? Is it making a difference? You know. Go with me up to the first verse of this text, Galatians 1. And in verses 1 through 5, I think what we'll see here is the reason that we get tired even when we do good. Verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load." So, Paul deals with this issue of getting tired while doing good in verses 9 and 10. What he points out in verse 5 is that everybody has a load to carry. And so even as we're doing good, sometimes the reason we get tired is because while we're doing good to other people, we have burdens that we have to carry. I'm going to try to illustrate this in this way. That podium there. I'm not going to try to pick it up because I don't actually know how heavy it is, and I don't want to throw my back out in front of everybody. I'm assuming I can pick it up, though. If I were to grab that podium and just hold it while I was preaching, do you guys think I could do that? Yell it. All right, never mind. I'm not going to say anything about that. You're probably right. I could do it for a little bit, but what I think would happen is my sermons would be a lot shorter, for one. Maybe for a little bit I could do that. But eventually I'm going to get tired. And that, I want you to think about that as your burden. So I've got a podium. Maybe you've got like a chair that you're holding. or a child or whatever, but that's like that's your burden in life. I'm not trying to insult any kids. It's just an illustration. But we have those things. They get heavy over time. So what do we do with them? You know, what I might be able to do is I might be able to hold that longer if I figure out a way to carry it. Like, maybe if I put it over my shoulder or over across my shoulders, I could probably stand up here longer and carry that. Now, I'd get tired eventually, but maybe not as quickly as I would just holding it like this. You ever notice that about people in their lives? They have this burden, an illness, a stressor, something that's going on that's making things difficult, but we figure it out. It's kind of like that podium. We figure out how to carry it so that it doesn't weigh so much. And we can go indefinitely with that burden in our lives. But here's where I think this really becomes difficult. Is what if... I think what becomes difficult is what Paul says back up in verse 2. He tells us to bear one another's burdens. And I think this is why we get tired. We're all carrying our own burdens. We're all dealing with them. Even when we figure out how to carry them and not get tired, what we're also called to do is to help each other out. So let's say that in a room full of people, we've all got our burdens, we're all carrying them, and up here, my arms start to shake, and I'm like, man, can somebody help me? I'm getting really tired. Maybe you want to, but what's the problem? You've got your own pulpit or podium. You've got your own chair. You've got your own burden that you're carrying. And so no matter how much you want to help, you're limited because you're carrying your own burden. Do you suppose that you'd be able to help me if you figured out a way to just set that down for a minute? If you could take that burden and just put it on the pew next to you, then that would free you up to be able to come and bear my burden. And I think that's the idea here, is that we can help each other when we figure out how to carry our own burdens or we're able to set them down. And that's the kind of the best case scenario. We can all help each other carry our own burdens, but we'd be a lot stronger if we didn't have the burdens in the first place, and we could just help each other. So I want to talk about how Jesus talked about this. God's answer from Isaiah is that those who wait on the Lord, they will gain new strength. Look at Jesus' answer and how he talked about this in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This is, I think, by many estimations, the greatest invitation that's ever been given. What Jesus said to an audience of people who, on that occasion, as he looked at them, what did he see? They were tired. They were weary. They were heavy laden. They were burdened and weighed down physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way. And Jesus saw them. And here's what he said. Matthew chapter 11. I thought I had it on the screen, but I'm going to read it. Turn there and read it with you. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So Jesus' answer to us is, if you've got a burden and you're tired of it, if you're trying to help somebody else out but you can't because of this burden, bring it to me. And I'll carry it for you. I'll give you rest. But then he says something else that's a little bit confusing in some ways. Because notice, after he talks about giving people rest, in the very next verse, verse 29, what does he say? Take my yoke upon you. Does that sound like rest to anybody? What is a yoke? I mean, we don't really see a lot of that in modern day, but if you've ever seen pictures of farmers before you had like the machinery, everything was automated. They had a couple of oxen plowing, and they had like a wooden piece across the oxen. That's a yoke. Or sometimes in developing countries, you might see a picture of people carrying like buckets of water or heavy things, and they're carrying it on suspended with like cords across a shoulder piece, this broad shoulder piece. That's a yoke. I've never seen a picture of oxen plowing a field or people carrying stuff like that where they look comfortable. It always looks like a burden. So what if Jesus said it that way? What if he said in verse 29, take my burden on you? Wait, Jesus, you just told me to come and bring my burden to you, and if I give it to you, I'll find rest. What do you mean that I need to now take a burden from you? That doesn't make sense. How am I going to find rest from that? Well, notice the rest of what Jesus says. What does he say about his burden? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. So what he's describing here is a transaction in which we give the heavier things to Jesus, the things that we can't carry by ourselves, the things that are too heavy for us, in exchange for a lighter burden. And I think he explains here in the text what the burden is. He says, take my yoke and learn from me. The burden of following Jesus is simply that we are called to sit at his feet, listen to what he says. And no matter how challenging or hard it is, we commit to following that. That is a burden. And it's a weight that for many people is too heavy and they don't want to carry it. But the reality that Jesus knew and that he's trying to teach all of us is that compared to the weight of the things that we carry, his burden is easy. It's the stuff that we try to hang on to and we don't want to give to him. That's really the heavy stuff. That's the stuff that makes us most tired. That burden that Jesus talks about, I think that's why he would say elsewhere in Scripture, take up your cross and follow me. But by comparison, it's a much lighter burden. And maybe you've seen that sometimes in the life, let's say maybe of a new Christian. They're dealing with all kinds of trauma in their lives or maybe dysfunction in the home. And they're trying to figure out how to deal with it. And so they come to Christ and suddenly everything kind of gets easier. Suddenly they know what to do with that. And it's not that the dynamic changes. Maybe the circumstance in their life, nothing's different at home. Nothing's different with their job or their career or their circumstances. What's different, though, is their perspective. They've figured out how to come and bring that to somebody else and how to learn from him and take a lighter burden. And that change in perspective, that willingness to learn of Jesus, can make all the difference when we're tired. And when our burdens are too heavy for us, if we bring them to him and learn how to learn from him, then we're not only better equipped to carry our burdens, but we can help everybody else around us. We can bear their burdens because we've given ours to Jesus. What are your burdens in life? Just today. You know, what are the things that you're dealing with that are heavy, that are weighing on you? Maybe it's career, it's job. Maybe it's family related. It could be financial. Could be things with your health. I don't know what those are, but God knows. And what God assures us is that he'll never be so weak that he can't do something with that. How long, here's the next question, how long are you going to try to carry that by yourself? You can keep doing it, but I think we see what that's going to do. We know at the end of the day that the longer we try to carry those burdens, the more tired we become. And the reality is that these burdens that we have, financial, family, otherwise, I mean, whatever it is, they become like the idols in Isaiah 46. You know, we carry them around for a while. We're like, okay, I'm going to get through this on my own. And then at some point, they become so heavy, we just have to set them down. And we give them attention. You know, maybe it's not worship, but we give them attention. And they become the focus of everything for just a moment. And then we pick them back up. And we carry them around a little bit longer. But eventually, we have to set them back down again and deal with the problem. Those burdens that we don't give to Jesus can become the idols of Isaiah 46. So, there's an invitation that Jesus gives. It is timeless. And it's just as relevant today, here in this place, in this room, 2,000 years later as it ever was to the group that he spoke it to. So if you have a burden that you're carrying in your life and you are just tired of it, whatever it is, come to Jesus. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And you'll find rest for your souls. If you've not become a Christian,
what I hope that you'll think about is just how far that's going to take. Do you want to live a life where you're having to carry everything? And at the end of the day, no matter how strong you might be, you find yourself exhausted. You don't have to live that way. But it starts with the choice today to bring your life and your burdens to the Lord. To lay them at His feet and say, you're gonna be the one for me. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to take your burden. Let's do this transaction. But I'd rather have your burden than mine. And I'm ready to make that decision. If you want to be a Christian tonight, if you want to be buried in baptism, die to your old man, you can do that. We'd love to help you with it. Maybe it's not that. Maybe you've been following the Lord, but just trying to carry things too much on your own. You got a group of people here who would love to help with that. And you have a Savior, even more so, who is equipped to carry whatever burdens are on your heart. So if we can help you, we're going to sing a song. Come to the front and let us know, and let's stand and sing together.